Kum Len and a Black Gemara. We are up to Dav Kuf Chavav Amr Aleph. We'll stop two lines from the top. Basically, in the Mishnah, we had an argument, Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim, regarding placing shutters on a house. Rabbi Lezer says that it looks like you're building, adding on. You know, you're not allowed, regarding an oil, we said you're not allowed to build an oil on Shabbos, even a temporary oil. Be allowed to add to an oil. Rabbi Lezer says, in order to be considered like you're adding, the shutter had to be connected to the building and it has to be suspended in the air. If it's dragging on the floor, it's no longer part of the building. When you place it back up, it looks like you're building. And the Chachamim said, and the expression is, Benkach, you can put the shutter back. So we interpreted, Rabbi Abba said, Nein Kana, that it means whether it's, forget about dragging on the floor. Even whether it's tied to the building or not tied to the building, you're allowed to put it back. So Rabbi Yim is going to ask, how do you know? Maybe benkach means, even though the second variable is not there, it doesn't matter if it's suspended or dragging on the floor, but maybe the Rabban also can see that it has to be attached to the building in order that it shouldn't look like you are building or adding to it. So this is how Rashi learns the whole Gemara. It's a question of binyan. And according to Tesis, it's a question of muktzah. Anyway, the Gemara, two lines on top. Omle Rav Yimir said, V'leima ma, why don't you say that benkach or benkach means bein toli, whether it's suspended in the air, or bein she'ein toli, whether it's not suspended, as provided, v'hush kosher, provided that it's attached to the building. But maybe Chacham HaMoedah, it has to be attached, otherwise if it's not, it's sitting separate, it does look like you're adding to the building. And why would I say that? Because the Amar Rabba Baba, to support my view, the Amar Rabba Bar Chana B'yechon, ki machleikas kan, kach machleikas, the same machleikas we have here, regarding adding to the building with shutters, we have a similar machleikas regarding binagar hanigra, a bolt that's dragging on the floor. So a bolt they used to put through a pivot through the door and go straight into the floor. And they take it out, they can put it in the corner, or it can still be, you know, tied to the door, and so it's always connected to the door. So we learned regarding this bolt, we're going to make a difference between the way it's in the Beis HaMikdash and the way it's everywhere else. Because an Issa de Rabbanon, generally in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't geyser Rabbanons, even though the Gemara Erevin, towards the end, we find out we do, but the Gemara says that different levels are Shvusim. But generally speaking, we're not geyser Yisurin Rabbanon in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're talking about Issa de Rabban, and it draws a contrast regarding this bolt. And we'll have a machlekes there, and it's Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama, and it seems, we're going to see Tanakama is the view of Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Yehuda is the view of the Chachamim here, and we'll see that over there it's talking about it still has to be connected to the door. If it's not tied to the door, even though then it doesn't matter what, you cannot put it back on. If only it's tied to the door, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, I don't care if it's dragging on the floor. So what's the story? Now we learned. The nagar hanigrad, if you have a bolt that's dragging on the floor, noyelin by b'migdash, so it didn't meet the second condition. Not only is it tied, but it's tied, but it's not. It's still dragging on the floor, and it's just not suspended in the base of migdash. It's only a shraban, and it's all right. Avalay b'medina, but not if it's anywhere else, because according to the Tanakama, you need two. To meet two criteria, it has to be attached to the door, and it should be suspended in the air. But the hamunach, the bolt was completely removed, not connected. Kan v'kan osa, it's forbidden because osa mahatayra. It's mamish binyan, putting it back. And something osa mahatayra makes no difference based on migdash or medina. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, hamunach, if it's lying on the floor, in other words, it's not attached, it is osa midrabbanan. So then, and what do we know regarding Yisurin? Rabbanon, so Rabbi Yehuda clearly saying that if it's not attached to the door, at least everywhere else, it's awesome in the Rabbanon. It looks like you're building. And since it only looks like in the base of Midrash, it's permitted. So Midrash is all right. But v'hanigil b'medina, the rest of the Medina, what you could, if it's lying on the floor, forget it, awesome Rabbanon. But if it's attached to the door, and it's just dragging on the floor, that's awesome in the Rabbanon. So that's permitted. So the Rabbanon say that it's permitted as long as it's attached to the door. I don't care if it's dragging on the floor or not. But if it's not attached to the door, then it's awesome with Rabbanon everywhere. And Rabbi Yehuda, we'll soon see, is the Chacham of HaMishnah. So it's clearly that it still has to be, the shutters should have to be tied to the building if you want to be able to put it back. Just like the bolt. And to delineate that further, Vitanya, we learned, Eza Nagar Nigra, what kind of a bolt are we talking about that if it's dragged? Shinoil Lamid, allowed to use in the base of Migdash, Lamidina, kosher, if it's tied, Vitoli, and it's suspended, Vereish Magilor, if it's tied and suspended, and just the tip of it touches the ground, that is only, sorry, Kontra Tanakam, which Rabbelezer, since you don't meet the second criteria, it's also the Rabbanon, because it's touching the ground. it's also mid rabbanon. So the Beis Hamikdash is permitted. Rabbi Yehuda says there, if it's tied to the door, the bolt, I don't care if it's dragging on the floor. Av b'medina mutter, that's permitted everywhere. Ela eiza hu shemedina asa. So what's the case where the Beis Hamikdash is permitted, but it's also medina because of rabbanon? Kol she'eino lekashav alei talui. It's not attached to the door, it's not suspended. V'shemta, you remove it, u'menicha b'kenazav, you place it in the corner. In other words, if it's not attached to the door, it is asur midrabanan. And the Omer Rabbi Shubba Rabba said, Mashmedu, Uleman Tana Nagar HaNigra, who is the Tana Kama here? Rabbi Lezer. So if the Tana Kama here is Rabbi Lezer, holds he needs to be, the lock, the bolt has to be tied to the door and suspended there. Rabbi Yehuda, who argues, would be the Chachamim of our Mishnah. And that said, what? It still has to be tied, but I don't care if it's suspended there or not. So in the case of the shutters, still has to be tied. So this is a Mimim's question. Why do you say Ben Kach or Ben Kach? Whether it's tied or not, maybe Ben Kach or Ben Kach means whether it's suspended in the air or strung on the floor, but everyone knows it has to be tied. Amalei said, Abba said, the reason why I didn't follow this particular Mishnah is under the Amri, because I hold Kihai Tana like his other Tana. The Tana we learned, Kanda, if you have a reed, she's Kinu Balabai, so a reed generally is Mukta, but he had a reed that the Balabas set aside, Lias Pesach Venerba, use it as a key to open his lock. Bizman she kosher v'toli b'pesach, if it's tied and hanging on the door, Pesach Venerbai. Ain't kosher on the place of nobody. The same over here. It's mukta, but if it's connected to the door, this is the first opinion of Beleza. If it's connected to the door and it's suspended in the air, then it's going to set it part of the door. It's all right. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel says mesukin. If you set it aside in your mind that you can use it as a lock, afa pisha ain't a kosher. Clearly, Rab Shimon ben Gamliel says it doesn't even have to be tied to the door. Same thing by the bolt and the same thing by the shutter. And therefore, I hold that the chacham is like Rab Shimon ben Gamliel. The benkach or benkach means whether it's tied to the door, whether it's not tied to the door, as long as he had in mind before Shabbos, this is going to be your shutter, that's it. It's no longer muktzeh, he can use it. And the Tateis learns or the Grashi, it's not a question of adding to the binyan. It looks like it's already part of the binyan. Omer v'yino b'ashay dover avasya Rav Yechon, the same name Rav Yechon, and the halach is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The halach is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Says the Gemara, you're telling me that he holds Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. When we Amar Rabbi Yechon Hachi Vatnan, we learned in the next mission. Actually, we will learn. Kol Kisuye Hakelim, all the covers, all the lids of a keli, he holds. We'll see in the mission, the next mission, why it has to be this way. But the lid of a keli, in order that it shouldn't be muktzeh, has to have another purpose besides being the lid of a keli. Sheyesh lehem beiz achila, achiza. If it has a handle, nitolim b'Shabbos. The Mishnah says that any lid that has a handle, you can move on Shabbos. We'll see later, we're talking about even a lid of a pit. If it has no handle, if you have a lid of a pit, it looks like you want to leave it there permanently as part of the building. But if it has a handle, then it's clearly it's only temporary and it's not a problem. So it says over here, and come with Rabbi Yehuda b'Shei l'Amar Rav Asi and Rabbi Yechon, v'hu sheyesh toydes klei lein. You know when you can move the lid? If the lid has other uses as well. It's a keli, it has another purpose as well. And according to this, when we say you're allowed to move a door around and so on, it's talking about that according to this understanding, only if it has another use as well. You can use it as a chair, it has some other use. Use it as a table. Anyway, so what do we see from here? That something that is not a keli intrinsically, you're not allowed to move it. So l'chayda, a reed, is not a keli. It's not a keli at all, because if you use it as a key is more a binyan than a keli. So how can you tell me, Rabbi Yechon, paskan shem gamil, this key, as long as in your mind you so decide, just read, you can use the keys, all right. Rabbi Yechon, it's not good enough. It has to have some purpose. It has to be a keli before you can have it in mind. And what kind of keli is it? A reed. Says the Gemara, if you can tell me taka what, that may be that this reed actually does have a use. For example, we learned before that you use it to prod or separate olives or other fruits that get stuck together. And that's what you, so that's the keli. You mean boy, Rashbag to the killer, but Rashbag definitely doesn't require a keli, because by the time we learned just in the last few days, charoyos shel dekel, you have the hard branches of a palm tree. So, shegodron l'shem eitzim, generally speaking, what is it for? For firewood. So if you set aside for eitzim, benim l'chalein yeshiva, decide, you know what, I'm going to use it as a chair. Tzarech l'kasher, you have to do a maisa to show that you intend to use it as a chair. Otherwise, it's muksa. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, ain't it tzarech l'kasher. You don't even have to tie it together. The moment you had in mind that this hardened branch of the palm tree I'm going to use as a chair is good enough. which means, it shows, Rav Shimon will hold, you don't need a Titus clear love, because what can you use with these branches? To use as a chair, you have to tie them together, but it doesn't even do that. So he doesn't hold any of the keli. So if Rabbi Yechiel, how could Rabbi Yechiel say, I hold a loch Rav Shimon Gamliel regarding this reed, Rav Shimon will hold, you don't have to have a Titus kli, and Rabbi Yechiel holds that it has to be a Titus kli love before you can have it in mind. He agrees with him in one respect, that just having in mind and it's set aside for it is good enough, it doesn't have to be tied. But he holds it has to have a Titus kli on it. Rabbi Chanavcha was standing once on the doorway of Shgulusa. He once said, "Halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer." The halacha is actually like Rabbi Eliezer, that it has to be tied and suspended. You want to put the shutter back or the bolt. Says the Gemara, "Moshe Rabbi Amram." Let me ask you a question. We have a Stam Mishnah in Gemara Erevin, and there it says there was a dead body in the next building. They wanted to make sure that the tumah does not pass into the building that they're in. So what did they do? They wanted to block everything up. And they wanted to block it up. So they put something there to block up the doorway, and then to measure, there was an opening somewhere. And they took a reed, and they put a little cup or something, a saucer or a cup, and they picked up the reed to measure whether it was a tefach, because an opening of a tefach is enough for the tumah to spread into the room that they were in. And then we learn a number of dinim. Number one is shepaikikin. You're allowed to close up on Shabbos, even though it wasn't tied to the door or anything else, but they decided to block the door, so you're allowed to do that. In other words, like the chachamim in our Mishnah, which is the what? And the version that we have over here, that you don't have to, it doesn't have to be tied, but more so, they paskin chachamim, not like you just said here, that Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha said that Allah Rebbeleza, number one. Number two is a Maidin. You're not allowed to measure on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, but if you're doing it for a mitzvah, you're allowed to measure a mikveh to see whether it's enough, and you're allowed to measure these things. They say you're allowed to measure, you know, if you have enough, you know, kazayis and matzah, mor and all that. And the Koishin b'Shabbos. You're allowed to make they tie this cup to the reed with, you know, kesha she'enu shekayam, lechatchilu, a knot, which is not permanent, you're allowed to tie. So what do we see from the Lepoil? We have a Stam Mishnah. Here, we have a Stam Mishnah over here, which seems clearly the halakha like a chamin. It doesn't have to be tight. Amalei Abayi said, "My daitach, what's your problem? Mishum Diktani Stamah, because this is a Stam Mishnah in Ervin. Nu Nagar Hanigah Nami Stamah. In the previous Mishnah that we had a Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum regarding the bolt, and even though Rabbi Yehuda's name is mentioned, the Chum's name is not mentioned, so it's a Stam Mishnah. That means that Rebbe felt the Mishnah should be like a Tanakhama, and that's Rabbi Lezer. So how do you know which Stam to follow? Why do you decide to ignore the Stam here, the Halacha Rabbi Lezer, and you quote me a Stam Mishnah in Erevin that the Halacha is like the Chachamim? Says the Gemara, because we have a rule, afil hachi ma'aseh rav. When you have a Mishnah which is teaching you Halacha, and you have another Mishnah that tells you an incident story where people actually behaved, a ma'aseh rav is far more instructive than just a Mishnah. It could be a Mishnah's theory. Over there, they told you a story, there was a dead body, and this is what they did. So they actually relied on the Chachamim. Is that either Halacha Chachamim? Next Mishnah is a Mishnah, called Kisa Kevin Shavachid, any lid that has a handle, Nitolin B'Shabbos, you can move them on Shabbos. When do we say that? Why they need a handle only in a cover of the ground? Why? Because when you put a lid on it, it could be misconstrued as you're building it. But the handle tells you that it's not for building. You're not planning to leave it there. You're planning to remove it. Avol bekisa kelim, when it comes to a lid on top of a utensil, even the handle fell off. Ben kach or ben kach, nitolim b'Shabbos. Let him move them on Shabbos. When do we say that you can move this lid only if it has a keli in its own right and you have other uses? But if it's just a lid and it's not a keli anywhere else, you cannot move it. Says Gemara, what's going on here? The Kuli Alma explains. Everyone agrees. Kisu kakoyis. If you plan to cover a pit with this lid, im yesh lehen beis achizein, if it has a handle, fine. And iloila, if it has no handle, you cannot do that on Shabbos, because even though your intention was to leave it in temporarily, it appears as if you're building and leaving it there permanently. It's forbidden. Bekisa kelim, if it's a lid for a normal pot, afagav the ein lehen beis achizein, even the adal minus the handle. So keep pligi. What's going on here? What they're arguing here is Bekelim the Chabrino Ba'ara. You know, the Chachamim Rabbi Yosi are arguing Kelim, we're talking about it's a lid of a vessel, but the vessel is wedged into a pit. So it's not the pit itself you're covering the Kelim, but it's wedged in the pit. Now, what's the story, yeah? So it's talking about an oven that's pitched, that's wedged in the ground. So in a way, it looks a little bit like a cover of the lid of a boyer, a little bit like the lid of a tanner. So Marsava, one of them holds gazrinam, we are goizer. Rabbi Yossi says that, you know, if it, that it's, what's it? What do you call it? That you're not allowed to, and Marsava like gazrinam. And the one, so the question is whether you're goizer or not goizer. Whether you're goizer because it looks like a lid of the boyer and therefore it's forbidden, or do we say the fact is it's a lid of a tanner and it's permitted? And that's why we need Toyda's kli on it, so in order to be able to move it, for those who are allowed to move it. They're arguing the kitzitaner. They're talking about the cover of an oven, of a big oven. They're not talking about an oven that's wedged in the ground. Just a very big oven and it has a lid. Mar medamele the kitzikarka, because a certain sense of permanency there, it's like karka, and therefore it's forbidden. Mar medamele the kitzikalim, cover of a keli, and therefore it is all right. and therefore, it holds like it's like kisik of a kalim, and it holds it's all right. Hadnalar kol kalim. We're continuing the laws of mukta till we get to Rablazan and Mila. Here we're talking more about the concept of you're not allowed to do things on Shabbos, which is a big bother, a big tircha. So mefanin, if you need the space, you're allowed to remove afilu arba, even four or chamesh or five kuppas, large boxes. If you need the space for people to sit there, for guests to eat a meal. Or Rashi says, Talmidim for a drosha. Couldn't imagine what else you'd be doing in the chair, sitting there. Just, and we're not worried about the fact that it's a tircha. But it says four and five times. You're more going to wonder if you're allowed to do five times what he has mentioned four. If it's what? Shall tevin straw, shall tfu. It can't be muksa, so you're allowed to move it if it's straw, if it's tfu, if they also be a base of medish. Because the guest or be a base of medish. Sounds like you're doing it for a mitzvah. Having guests as a mitzvah or learning as a mitzvah. I don't want you to clear out, the Gemara will explain, I don't want you to clear out the entire warehouse. And we're worried, if you clear out the entire warehouse, you're going to find out suddenly there's cracks in the ground. You might, you know, impulsively try to cover them up, level out the ground, which is asur matoida. Mifani, you're allowed to move. Truma toida, food itself can also be mukta if you cannot eat it. If you cannot eat this food, it's mukta. That's what the whole discussion is. If you have frozen products in your freezer, which are not edible, are you allowed to move them on Shabbos? Is it mukta? So mefanin truma tohayri, you're allowed to move truma tohayri, even though I'm not a koyin, but it's not mukta because a koyin can eat it. Or demai, which is what you've purchased from an ama earth, and you don't know if they gave their mice or not. A poor person is permitted to eat it, so therefore it's not mukta. And you yourself, you can always become a poor person in a minute by making all your assets hefka. My sedition, if a levy went ahead, the chiv of truma to a koyin, the 2%, does not happen until after you harvest. And then after that, you give 10% to a levy, and the levy then has to in turn give from his own another truma called trumas maisa. But if the levy, we have more bracha, so the levy jumps in ahead while it's growing and takes it for himself, there never was a chiv of truma, so that he can keep it as maisa, even though we don't approve it, but he's keeping it as maisa, and then he just gives trumas maisa. So if maisa edition, shenitla trumasoi, it took away the trumas maisa, but he didn't get the original truma, it's still all right, because if the levy jumped in first, it's permissible to be eaten, so it's not muktzah. Or a maisa sheni vehegdish, you set aside maisa sheni, which is every, you know, the first, second, the fourth, and fifth year, which you take the produce 10% with you to the shalayim, but it's too much, you basically exchange it for money. Or hegdish that you donated, now you decided you want to change it for money, bring the money to the base of Megdish, and nivdu, you redeemed it. And if you want to eat that food, you're allowed to eat it, so therefore it's not muktzah. Haturmus hayavish, we had this vegetable. It's either a legume or a vegetable that we learned you have to cook it for a long time to be able to make it edible. And if it's dry, nevertheless, it could be eaten. According to Rashi, according to this version in the Gemara, it's a food for goats. Cholpach is suitable for animals. Others say Michael anim, food for or poor people. But the following food is mukta because it's not edible. Lo yes hatevel. If you didn't give truma at all on Shabbos, you cannot touch it. Or if the levy didn't take it till after it was harvested, and even though he gave his own truma, the original truma wasn't given, it's muktzah because nobody can eat it. That you didn't redeem, you're not allowed to eat it because again, nobody can eat it. Rashi already asked lechayda truma. You can a koyin can if it's truma temeya. We're saying over here that you cannot definitely you cannot, it's muktzah because you cannot do anything with it on Shabbos. And Rashi L'Chayda, why can't you give it to the animal? So he says, and the reason why on Shabbos you cannot give it to the animal, even though the week you're allowed to, is because that's the mitzvah of burning. You're not allowed to burn, you know, fulfill the mitzvah of burning, or consuming or burning, or getting rid of your truma on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. As we looking more before the Chav Gimel. Where are we? Veloyas aluf, and not luf. Rashi aluf is a mean kidneyus. Rambam holds it's kind of an onion. Veloyas achadol, no mustard before you made it into small little seeds. Because it's not edible, so they're all muktzah. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel mati beluf. He said you're allowed to use luf. Why? Because Michael Arvin, it's food for the ravens, and so what? And Gemara will explain later on that the wealthy people, they used to have raven as pets. And I'm not exactly sure what it was. Rashi says it was some kind of a sign of being an aristocrat. You had to have certain things. These are one of the telltale signs. If you had ravens as a pet. So therefore, and Tanakam agrees, for a raven you can feed it. So a rich person, it's not muktzah. But Rav Shimon Lula says, if you remember we had before, that all Jews are considered b'nei malachim, are considered like aristocrats, so therefore it's not muktzah for anybody. Mipnei shum chavili tash, the chavili eitzim, you have bundles of straw and bundles of wood. The chavila is rodim and all kinds of, you know, little twigs, and I guess a little bit edible. Imiskinin lemaychol behemah, if you put them aside for animal fodder, metalgnus and some muktzah, because you can feed your animals. Imla, but if it's not really, if it was not put aside for your animal, ain't metalgnus, because people don't consume it, so it's muktzah. So that's a general rule. If nobody eats it, it's muktzah machmas gufay. So the Gemara hashto chomesh mefanin arba meboy. If you're allowed to move five packages, even those big bundles and taser brings down, each one was three, you know, each bundle was three saw. So they're quite large and a big bother. If you're allowed to move five, sure, you're allowed to move four. This is how you learn. Arba mechomesh. If you own five, the maximum you can take is four and leave one there because we don't want you to clear the warehouse. Or chomesh meisigod. If you have a very big warehouse, the maximum you can take is five. I don't care if you have 50, because that otherwise becomes too big of a tirchen on Shabbos. We don't want you to work too hard. If so, my avol lo yaseitzid. You can't tell me don't complete the warehouse, because you just told me if you have only four, if you have only five, you can only take four. And the reason is because we don't want you to completely empty your warehouse. So why does the Mishnah say again? And but not the warehouse. It means shloyaschil ba'oitzer tchile. It means l'chatchile, if you haven't yet started to take there for food or for yourself or your animal, and then if you haven't ever started taking this, like muktzah, and the author of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, holds that if you didn't, no, the Kohen Rabbi Yehuda, everything automatically is muktzah unless you want it for Shabbos. According to Rabbi Shimon, generally everything is not muktzah because we assume you want Shabbos unless you clearly did not want it for Shabbos. So certain things Rabbi Shimon is moida, where you did an act to show you don't want it on Shabbos. So that's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda holds everything is muktzah unless you clearly do want it on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon holds everything is not muktzah unless you clearly don't want it on Shabbos. So this follows Rabbi Yehuda and says, since you didn't do any activity to show that you want to take food from this particular warehouse, everything in that warehouse is muktzah. And that's one way of learning. Comes along Shmuel and says, against Rav Chisda, arba v'chamesh, you know why this is 4 or 5, not because of what you're saying, you know, kedam inchi. That's how people say, you start off small, and if you want, you can even know more. And truth of the matter is, there's no max, there's no cap. You could even do more than five. But that's how people talk, 4 or 5, my avolaisa itzis. According to this, what do you mean? Don't clear the warehouse. Don't clear the warehouse. Shavu yigma kula. Don't clear the warehouse. Of course, you're allowed to start because there's not muktzah. Because this author of this mishnah of Shimon, Dilma osil shvuy gumin. So why don't we want you to clear the warehouse? Because we're scared you'll find there's some holes in the ground and you might try to level it. Avolas chuli maschil. But to start, you can. Umani, and who's the author of our mishnah of Shimon? He's less than muktzah. Doesn't believe in muktzah. Torah Rabbanan. There's a couple more lines. Rabbanan, we learned. It says in the Braise, Ein maschilin ba'oitze tchila. It says in the Braise like this, which sounds like a contradiction. You should not set out to start taking food from a warehouse if you haven't done so before. Sounds like this, Rabbi Yehuda, we hold a muktzah. But if you need to make yourself a path to be able to walk in and out, you're allowed to move the barrels around or move the items around. You just said it's muktzah. How can you move items around? You want to make a path? Well, Amr, you just said, Ein maschil, you're not allowed to start if you haven't yet anticipated to use this warehouse, you can't do it on Shabbos. Says Gemara, Hachikomer. You're allowed to make a pathway, but how? Beraglov, using your feet. In other words, don't pick your hands using your hands the normal way. Use your feet. That's called tiltul haguf.
If you're using your body to move things around, like your elbows, your feet, which is not the normal way of moving things around, that's permitted even though the items are muktzah, because it's not the normal way. It's a shinui. B'chnisasa uvitziyasa, going in and going out.
Okay, this ends the Gemara. Good Shabbos, everybody.